This podcast is a part of the Blueberry Network. You can find this and other great podcasts at blueberry.com. That's blueberry with no E's .com.
Hi, I'm Dave Dufour, and this is Theater Geeks Extra. Hi, this is Theater Geeks Extra, a podcast also about community theater and the performing arts in general, but it's a little bit of a different twist. Let me explain what I'm up to with this particular podcast. As you know, Theater Geeks is generally on a bi-weekly schedule, and so we record, John and Marcia and I get together and record a regular episode of Theater Geeks about every 6 weeks or so, somewhere in that general range. And what we do is we record several episodes and then release those every 2 weeks until we're out, and then we get together and record some more. Well, one of the things that is a problem, or not a problem, but it's something that I want to sort of improve the podcast with in general, is to add some sort of more up-to-the-minute news, at least on a regular basis, by filling in a show on the alternating weeks when we're not actually doing a regular podcast with the three of us. We're not going to stop doing the podcast with the three of us. That's still John, Dave, and Marcia will still be together, and you'll still get a podcast every 3 weeks of our observations or an interview or a special guest or whatever with the, in the world of community theater. But I wanted to basically increase the frequency of the podcast, give you a little bit more to listen to on a weekly basis, and this is probably the best way to do it. What happens is that we can get together, you know, about every 6 weeks, and that's about as often as we can get together. We might be able to do it a little bit more often than that. But one of the difficulties is that it's hard to do more than about three shows in any of those sessions. So that three shows is about, you know, it's 6 weeks worth, or in some cases, if we're on the weekend when that episode is going to be released, that gives us a month. So basically what we're trying to do is increase the frequency, and I can do this on my own here at in my home studio, and John and Marcia, who have a lot of other things to do as well, can do those things and get together, you know, little less often, basically, or, you know, not have to get together more often to increase the frequency in the show. And we've been talking about this for a long time, and so that's really what the whole idea is. So what this show is going to be is essentially just kind of a rundown of headlines and stories from around the net, in the world of theater, around the net, around the world, around the country, largely U.S. based, although we will pick up some stuff in other countries as well when those things are important. I'm not going to report on every single show opening or every single person that gets cast or, you know, that kind of stuff. We are going to basically lead you to other resources that you can look at as well. So we're just going to basically giving you my impressions of some of these news stories, and the links to those stories will be on your on the website, the Theater Geeks website, in the show notes. So those are your show notes to, you know, investigate some of these shows a little bit further and have some fun doing so. Couple of things that came to mind this week. First of all, just go through the original news headlines here. First one, Death of a Salesman, one of my favorite shows, and really, really obviously, you know, a classic American tragedy. It's very often considered the classic American tragedy, the great American play, and it is a show that is being revived on Broadway. Mike Nichols, director of so many good shows on Broadway and so many good motion pictures, is going to be directing. It's a 16-week engagement, opens March 15th, and it's going to star Philip Seymour Hoffman as Willie Loman, and Linda Ammond as Linda Loman, and Andrew Garfield, who was in The Social Network, is going to be on Anyway, the show. The link is there. This is a headline that comes from Playbill magazine, and you can check that out. Another headline from Playbill is that, oh, this is actually a really cool thing, and I don't know, I can't play any of this for you in the course of this, but go to this link. It's going to be the second link down in the show notes. And what it is it's happy birthday. This was as of January 16th. It was Ethel Merman's birthday. Ethel Merman was a Broadway star for many, many years, and passed away, I think, in the 1980s sometime. And she was the big voice of Annie Oakley, and the big voice of a couple of ones. I believe she was in On the Town. She was in a lot of great, great shows, and Gypsy as well, and was one of the defining voices of the theater. And if you ever heard her voice, you will never forget it. And so there is a special page, which is sort of a happy birthday page on Playbill Magazine's website. And it is, nine of their favorite Ethel Merman moments. And these include some TV specials. I think they're mostly television appearances, perhaps. Yeah, film. There's one with Judy Garland. There's another television. She did a television special in the 60s. And so if you really want to get a performance of her in the 1931 film Be Like Me at age 23, when she was really young, obviously. And so anyway, check that out. It's very cool. And the videos are all real, just sort of classic performances from a really classic Broadway performer. Also from Playbill magazine, the original cast of Les Miserables got some bad news. This was news that they expected, but the original cast of Les Mis from London, this is the London cast, is no longer going to get royalties for their work on the original cast album. And so apparently that's just normal for the UK, but I never heard of this. I didn't realize they didn't get residuals forever, but they don't. Their royalties are not residuals. It's royalties. They don't get royalties forever. And anyway, it ends, and they get royalties for, according to English law, 25 years, I think, is what the article says. Yes. And that was, that was the deal that they made when the album was made. This affects people like Alan Armstrong, Michael Ball, Patti LuPone, and Francis Raphael, who was in the Broadway show as well. So that's just life in the theater, I guess. The next one comes from the LA Times. This is a story about Mythbusters. If you're familiar with Mythbusters, it's hard to say, easy for me to say. Mythbusters, of course, is the great show on TV, which is really kind of a science show for crazy geeks. But apparently, they have been doing a stage show in California, and there's a review of it here, and that is in the LA Times. Short story, the LA Times didn't like it so well. It was had some crowd-pleasing moments, they did some things with high-speed cameras and some science experiments. These guys are sort of like extreme Mr. Wizard is what it really kind of boils down to, if you are old enough to remember Mr. Wizard on television, or extreme Bill Nye the Science Guy. So it's fun. I'm not sure that, the guy that wears the beret, and I can't remember his name, Jamie Hyneman, he just doesn't seem like an onstage kind of guy. So there's the review of that. Check that out as well. Also from the LA Times, obviously, let's see, here it comes. I'm double checking this one. Yeah, Mythbusters. More about the Mythbusters. There's actually two links about that. The Guardian has a story about animation and the use of animation on stage, and really just sort of ask the question, should the theater leave more to the imagination? A lot of, you know, we've come a long way in being able to put animation, incorporate animation or rear screen projection and, you know, all kinds of technologies into stage shows. And sometimes I don't know, this sort of begs the question, are we going too far? Give me your thoughts on this. If you want to send in your point of view on this, should we really take away all the mystery, or should we try to be present? You know, should we leave more to the imagination on stage? Check out the article and send me an email, dave@theatergeeks.com. And gee, you know, this would be a really great conversation starter for one of our panel discussions. So look at the article and let me know what you think. Now, here's another show that it would seem shocking that this show actually exists, but to me, it's even kind of more shocking that it sort of continues to exist for a long time. But there's a show, and this is, I believe, on Broadway. Yeah, it's called Naked Boys Singing. I have to ask Marcia if she's actually seen this. I kind of doesn't seem like Marcia's cup of tea, but maybe it is. But it is Broadway's second longest running show after the Fantastics, which is actually it's off Broadway's second longest running show, following the Fantastics, which I don't think anybody's going to beat. It's going to take 100 years before somebody beats that one. But it's an all male nude musical review, and it's going to close after 3,069 performances. And let's see, January 28th, it's going to close down and going to close the curtain and put their clothes back on, and that'll be the end of Naked Boys Singing. I wonder if it's available for community theater. I just bet. Anyway, last story I've got here. That is the last story I've got there. Oh, one more thing. William Shatner, him of the late Star Trek series, he's got a one man show that he's been doing on Broadway, which is really just sort of a reminiscence of his years as a stage actor. He was apparently a Shakespearean actor at one point, and obviously trained actor, and but he's going to start a tour of the show called Shatner's World. We Just Live in It. It'll kick off March 10th in Los Angeles. It's going to go to a whole bunch of cities. These look like they're all going to be one night performances, mostly in, well, from like the, from mid March, starting March 10th and going through April 19th. The cities include Los Angeles, San Francisco, Philadelphia, Minneapolis, Chicago, Milwaukee, Denver, Dallas, Houston, St. Louis, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Columbus, Charlotte, and Detroit. Sounds like fun. It'd be fun to see William Shatner. I mean, this isn't necessarily, I guess it's a theater event, but in a little different way than most theater events. But it'd be great to hear what he has to say about his life. This is a non-theater event, and I just kind of wanted to point this one out. It's kind of a fun thing, and it's something that I happen to enjoy, and I like to promote it just a little bit. In fact, I'm thinking about going to this myself with, and maybe some of my family members as well. In Chicago, there is going to be on March 6th, and this happens on a regular basis at this location, which is at Martyrs Nightclub or Martyrs Bar, Saloon, whatever it's called, on Lincoln Avenue. They're going to have a Pachacha night. Now, this is pronounced, and I'll give you the information on the show notes. It looks like it says Pechacucha, but it's pronounced Pachacucha, which is Japanese for chit-chat. What it is it's a way of doing presentations. It's sort of PowerPoint outside the box. And these are very interesting nights where they bring together about a dozen people in an evening to do a Pachacucha presentation, which is you get 20 slides. Each slide is on the screen for 20 seconds, and that's your whole presentation. And it forces people to be very creative with the way they do their presentations, and the topics run the gamut. Everything you can think of is part of these Pachacacha Nights, and they're organized by, this one's organized by some architects and designers in Chicago. This kind of an event started in Tokyo, actually, by some architects, and it sort of focuses in that direction, but there's a whole lot of other things that it can be. People speak about the arts, they speak about just daily life, they speak about interesting events coming up, or education, as well as architecture and design and art and things like that. So these are really fun. There are some 300 or 400 cities around the world that do Pachacacha Nights on a regular basis. Chicago is just one of these. And it's done by volunteers, costs, I think Martyrs is charging $10 admission, and you got to be there early, or you do not get a table. Believe it or not, this is as popular as all get out. So if you get a chance to see that, Pachacacha.org, and I'm not even going to try to spell it again for you on the mic here, but it's I'll have the link for you to the Chicago night, and you can kind of look around the website if you check out the show notes at theatergeeks.com. A couple more things I want to talk to you about. American Association of Community Theater has, we're really sort of heading into the conference and festival season already, believe it or not. Of course, I think the Indiana Festival is sometime in April, but I've got some notes for that. AACT is having its annual conference. That's in July. The national conference is in July in New York. There's a link for that. There's a regional festival coming up not too far away. Hold on. Let me open this up and take a quick peek at it again, because I don't have it opened right now. There we go. That is actually, it's going to be March 7th. That's a regional, that's a Southeastern Theater Conference in Chattanooga. That's going to be coming up in March. And the state festivals, and I'll give you a couple of those that are coming up the sooner ones, although really they sort of tend to, they get pretty clustered together. Okay, the TNT annual conference is happening in Texas. ICTLs is happening. Actually, it's actually in March. 325. There's a good likelihood that Theater Geeks will be represented down there doing some interviews and those kinds of things. I know that my home theater is going down to that one. Also, that same weekend is the Theater New Mexico State Festival. And in April on the 21st is the Maine Association of Community Theater 2012 Festival. We'll have this link for you in the show notes as well. So you can take a look at that. That's all the news that I've got for you today. And be with us next week. We will have another episode recorded during our live event at the Bristol Opera House with Deirdre Lovejoy, Rick Ellis, and Kevin Agelski emceeing our game show portion. I Know is the name of our game show. So stick with us, and we'll see you again on Theater Geeks. Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.